Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 7 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Tes. You will notice a bow tie form, a bow tie shape. This is a marking that we started on Daf Kuf Ches in our previous shiur. We have a series of comments made by Mar Ukva in the name of Shmuel. We also pointed out in our last shiur that we are delving into topics that are of a health and medicinal nature. Refuah, we call it in Hebrew. This general topic lasts until the end of the perek, quite a ways ahead on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Omid Beis. We should just mention by way of general note, or possibly you will even call it a disclaimer, that there are many, many items, ingredients, that are of a helpful nature, whose names we won't be able to translate as we go along, if someone is very curious as to how one might translate it. So we suggest turning to the different Gemara translations that are available on the market. We in Gemara Markings hesitate to translate items that we don't have a continuous tradition on from time immemorial. And as a result, Rashi himself offers very often French words, Old French, and there are books that deal with the translation of Old French also into more common modern terms, both in Hebrew and in English. For the understanding of the Gemara per se, it's not a binding factor. We can still get through the sugyos with an understanding. And in addition, it's important to note what is brought in Rishonim. It's the Rishonim commentaries that say that the different remedies that are mentioned in the Shas, in the Gemara, are not to be practiced today. There are different explanations for that. And being that we see the authority of Rishonim telling us of that, so it becomes less, let's say, imperative for us to understand or actually be able to translate these different ingredients, being that we won't be able to make practical use of them as such. There may very well be another dimension of understanding as to why the Chazal feature in the Shas all of these different refuas, in addition to the very fact that the Gemara is all-inclusive, all-life-inclusive, from before the birth of a person to after his death. Nevertheless, there, beyond the realm of basic medicinal information, there might be other hidden information here that we will relegate to the realm of Kabbalah or the mystical realm, but that's way beyond the purview of our Daf Yomi Gemara markings presentation. The only reason we're mentioning it is that we shouldn't assign any secondary importance to these kind of Gemaras, realizing that there might very well be a much deeper dimension to it. Being that we've said all of our disclaimer remarks, we continue in the Gemara. On the side of the Gemara, we've simply noted as our topic heading, the Hemshech Inyone Refuah, continuation of matters of remedy. The Omar Mar Ukva Omar Shmuel, we continue in the Gemara, 7 lines from the top. Mar Ukva quotes Shmuel and says, Olin Ein Bohem Mishum Refuah. Olin is, in this case, the name of a type of grass, and he's telling us that it doesn't have any obvious remedial remedy value, and for our purposes, that would mean that if one were to want to eat this on Shabbos, he wouldn't be in violation of the issur of taking medicines that we discussed in our last year. where the Chazal ruled against taking medicines or practicing different remedy procedures, medicinal procedures, so as to guard against coming to grinding medicines, grinding plants and plant roots for the purpose of making medicines. If one were to grind such substances, he would be in violation of the malacha called tochein, the issur of grinding. Just to repeat ourselves, as a result of that issur of tochein, Chazal imposed a general prohibition of taking medicines and pursuing medicinal procedures on Shabbos. Of course, in the event that it's something is life threatening, it's sakonas nefoshes or pikuach nefesh, then this restriction is not imposed. So Mar Ukva tells us that olin is not something that provides a medicinal relief. Omar Rav Yosef, Kuzbarta ein ba mishum rufua. Likewise, Kuzbarta, which Rashi gives a French word for that, is not something that is of a medicinal nature. Omar Rav Sheshes, Koshus ein bohem mishum rufua. Koshus as well doesn't provide medicinal relief, or the consumption of it wouldn't be a violation of Shabbos. Omar Rav Yosef, Kuzbarta, Afilu l'didi kosheli. Rav Yosef suffered from blindness, and he said, "For someone like me, even someone like myself that has no sight, the consumption of kuzbarta would be difficult. Will create for me eye pain." Rashi says. Omar Rav Sheshes Gargira. Rav Sheshes also was a blind individual, so he says that Gargira afilu l'didi mali. Gargira is something that would be of great benefit, even for someone like me. So one could extrapolate from this Gemara that Gargira would be problematic vis-a-vis eating it on Shabbos. The Omar Mar Ukva Amar Shmuel Kol Mini Koshus Sharu. All types of koshus, as we mentioned, that's a type of vegetation, is allowed for one to eat it on Shabbos, labar mi taruza, except for the taruza type koshus. Rashi points out that taruza would be eaten only for refuah purposes, for medicinal purposes, and therefore if you see someone eating taruza type koshus on Shabbos, you would know that he's doing it for health benefit, and therefore it's prohibited. Omar Rav Chista, Sharika Tavya Shori, Pi'pui Be'i Osir. Rashi provides an explanation for these two points, and the approach Rashi takes would seem to be of a culinary nature. Tosfos, on the other hand, explains these two points and ties them into a medicinal nature. And according to Tosfos, it appears to be more reasonable to explain like he does, so as to make it fit into the sugya a little bit more. So we first look at Rashi. Shriko Tavya, Rashi says, Lishrok v'leptuach sheminu beitzim megugolim al hatzli. It's to take sheminu beitzim is oil and eggs. Beitzim megugolim is an egg that's been roasted. Megugolim literally means it rolls. As you might be aware, a raw egg doesn't roll that well. But once the egg is cooked or is roasted, so it becomes firmer and hence it rolls. So a beitzim megugolim would be a roasted egg and mixed with oil. The Rashi describes this. Then this egg oil mixture is then smeared on a roasted meat. When it's hot, kishu cham, mishech hashecha, after Shabbos is already set in shori, this would be allowed, vashilo yehei roseach kidei levashil, provided the meat isn't that hot that it would be of such heat that it would cook the substance that you just smeared on it. Velo amrinon, and we don't say domi lemesakin, that it looks like you're doing tikkun. Tikkun would be something of a, literally of a repairing or of an improvement nature, and hence would be forbidden. So we don't say that. The next Rashi, Pipua Bei, Litrof Beitzim Megugolim Bikara. This is to beat roasted eggs in a bowl. Also, Rashi says the mischazi keman deboy lemishdinu bekedero, because it appears that you're getting the roasted eggs ready to be added to some type of pot, which would be a problem on Shabbos, adding it to a pot in the context of cooking. As we said, Tosfos disagrees with this pshat, and he gives a rach, the Rabbeinu Hananel's pshat. He quotes and says that shrika tavya has to do with straining waters or juices from an avatiach and then drinking it for diuretic purposes. And the Gemara here is saying that, according to the Rach, that it would be mutter to strain this juice, this water, because people eat it even without the straining process. And so, therefore, the straining process is not viewed as a problem. However, piapui bay, this is something that is forbidden, because people don't eat that unless it's strained. So the straining is, in such a case, would be forbidden on Shabbos. And as we said, the pshat that the Rach gives is ties it into the medicinal nature of the sugya. We continue back in the Gemara. Divisu de Ziri, the wife. Divisu is the wife of Ziri, of the lay. She, Lechia bar Ashi, she prepared the Shrika Tavia for Rav Ashi, velo ochal. And Chia bar Ashi did not eat it. In other words, he seemed to be practicing some type of we'll call religious stringency in not eating it. Omra le, so she, the wife of Ziri, said, L'raboch avdi leva ochal, for your teacher, namely my husband, who is Ziri, the teacher of Chia bar Ashi, I prepared it for him and he would eat it, v'at lo achlis, and you don't eat it? What's your problem, so to speak? So, Ziri litame, Ziri in allowing this is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. Diomar Ziri nosin odam yayin solul umayim tzulun l'tocha meshameres b'shabas v'eino choshesh. A person can put clear, pure wine or clear wine and clear water in a strainer on Shabbos. Meshameres is a strainer, and he doesn't have to worry about a Shabbos violation. Alma, what do we see from this? Kevon demishnasi hachi, lav midi kovin. Since people drink the unstrained clear wine and clear water as is, so therefore by putting it in the strainer, you're not doing anything. It's not a problem. Hachanami, so too over here with regard to the oil egg mixture, kevon demiskil hachi. Since people eat it as is, lav midi kovin. So nothing unusual is being done. And Rashi points out that since people eat the roasted meat without the smearing on of this egg oil mixture, so by smearing the oil egg mixture, you're not improving it in a tikkun fashion. Tikkun has to do with something of a creative nature which would otherwise be forbidden. The Gemara continues, V'omar mar ukva, mi shenogfa yodo o raglo. Before we continue further in the Gemara, we should point out on the side a nosea topic heading we have assigned to this, make al gav hayad o gav regel havisakona, an injury impact on the back of one's hand or the top of one's foot presents a danger to a person's well-being. When we say a danger, we're often referring to something that may be life-threatening in nature. So the Gemara continues with another comment of Mar Ukva. In this case, he's not quoting Shmuel, that Misha Nogfa Yodo O Raglo, one who suffered a bruise or an impact to his Nogfa is an impact to his hand or his foot. Tsomsa, the word Tsomsa means to reduce the swelling. Tsomsa B'yayin Veinu Choshesh. He is allowed to reduce the swelling by using wine and doesn't have to worry about some type of Shabbos violation. Ibayaloho, cholamai. The Gemara asks, what about reducing the swelling using chola, using vinegar? Omar Rav Hillel, l'Ravashi. Ki havino be Rav Kahana, amri chola lo. Rav Hillel tells Ravashi that when I was in the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, it was said that chola, the vinegar, would be prohibited. Omar Rava, vahani b'nei mechuza, the people of mechuza, kivan de mefanki, since they are delicate individuals. Rashi says me'unogim hein. The common word, maybe many are familiar with the word mefunok, is appropriate here. Afilu chamro nami masi luhu. Even a wine would be of a medicinal nature. From the context of the Gemara, it would seem that Rava is saying that the B'nai Mechuzah would not be allowed to use wine either to reduce the swelling. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a marking. You see this diamond that appears with Roman numerals 1 and 2 to the side of the Gemara. Under our Mivneh heading, we have indicated the purpose of this marking. You see the word Chazieh is highlighted in the diamond. In the Gemara, the numbers represent Shnei Lishonos, two versions, B'maise, involving an incident, Shadora Chamor al Ragloi Shel Ravashi, where a donkey had trampled on the foot of Ravashi, that Shenisa La'atzor Ahis Naphus Shel Amake, that he attempted to prevent the swelling of this impact, Al Yaday, number one, Chola, which is Chometz, and number two, Chamro, which is wine. So they have two versions of this incident. The Gemara. Ravina Iklo Lebe Ravashi. Ravina visited Ravashi. Chazia the Dricho Le Chamro Agava de Kare. And he noticed that a donkey, a Chamro is a donkey, had Drichos to have trampled on his foot. The Yosef caught Somus Le Bechalo, and he was sitting there attempting to stop the swelling using vinegar. Amar Le. So Ravina asked, Lo Sover Lo Mor Lo Hodomar of Hillel Chololo. Do you not hold of that which Rav Hillel said, that Chola is not acceptable, is not allowed? You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right hand of the Gemara text. You can align this with the little star that is to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the star that you see just a few lines up where Rav Hillel's name appeared, and he had said Chololo. So Omar Le, Ravashi answers, Lo Sover Lo Mor Lo Hodomar. Let's correct ourselves. Omar Le, Gav Hayad, the Gav HaRegel Shiny. The impact that I experienced was on the back of my, in this case, back of my foot, where back of the hand or back of one's foot is different. That poses a danger. And as such, we are lenient in the ruling. The Gemara continues with a second version, Iko Diamri, Chazie de Kotsomisle Bechamra. Ravino noticed Rav Ashi stopping the swelling using wine. You can see that we've used a dash underline under the word Chamra to contrast this with the first version, also with a dash underline where the word Chala appeared. And also, we've written in above the word Chamra the word Yayin so as not to confuse this word, which appears in the same spelling beforehand, which was a reference to a donkey. So here he's stopping the swelling using wine. Omar Le, Lo Sover Lamor, Lo Hod Yom Rava, do you, asks Ravina to Ravashi, do you not hold from that which Rava said, Hani B'nei Mechuza, Kevon de Mefanki, since they are delicate, Afilu chamra nami masi lehu, even wine is of a medicinal value, umor nami ha mefanik, and you, Ravashi, are someone that is of a delicate nature, so why are you using the wine? Amar Le, so Ravashi answers, gav hayad v'gav haregel shayni. The case of back of hand and back of foot is different, top of foot is different. Diomar av adu bamaton amarav. Gav hayad v'gav haregel, an impact on the top of one's hand or one's leg, one's foot. Hare hen kemaka shecholol. It's like an internal injury. Cholol is the interior of a person. Umechalin alein es haShabbos, and because of that, where one is entitled to violate Shabbos in order to seek the necessary remedy. Otherwise, you're dealing with something that's life threatening. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the side, the Nosei, under which we've written Yam HaGodol, the Great Sea. As far as what exactly the Yam HaGodol is it a reference to the Mediterranean Sea, or is it a reference to the Atlantic Ocean, that we will leave aside. But the Yam HaGodol is clearly something that's a reference to a very large body of water, the Great Sea. Number one, Rechitza Bo B'Shabbos, will discuss the issue of bathing in it on Shabbos. And number two, Koyach Taharoso, the ability of an immersion in the Yam HaGadol to provide Tahara, purification. Aleph, Kima'ayon, does it have the characteristics of a live spring? Or Beis Kemikveh, like a ritual immersion pool that has stagnant water, it's actually gathered stagnant rain water. These two elements, a ma'ayon and a mikveh, have different purification properties that Rashi himself elaborates on quite a bit. So the source begins, Tana Rabbanan, and we've noted a number one because this is presented in anticipation of a number two source that's presented as contradictory in a couple of lines. So in the meantime, source number one, Rochatzim b'mei Gror, b'mei Chamson, b'mei Asya, u'v'mei Tveria. All of these are different names of bodies of water. Avalo b'yam ha'godo, v'lo b'mei Mashra, v'lo b'yom ha'shilstom. However, one is not entitled to bathe in the, to wash himself in the Yam HaGadol, the Great Sea, nor in the Mei Mashra, which is water that's used for flax soaking. Flax is the raw material that's used for making linens. So the flax, before the flax plant is made into linen, it's soaked. The water in which it's soaked is called Mei Mashra. Nor is one allowed to bathe in the Yam HaShelstom, very likely a reference to what we call today the Dead Sea. V'raminu, we now raise a contradiction. Rochatzin b'mei Tveria uv'yam ha'godol, avolo b'mei Mashra v'lo b'yom shel Sdom. The markings here are used to highlight what we need for our sugya by way of the contradiction. So we've dashed underlined yam ha'godol here as well as before. In the previous source, lo b'yam ha'godol. Here it says, yes b'yam ha'godol. The Gemara points out Kasha Yam HaGadol Ayam HaGadol. In comparing these two sources, we see a contradiction between them regarding bathing in the Great Sea. In order to respond or answer this contradiction, you'll notice triangles appear in the Gemara, and under our Mivneh heading, we've written these triangles represent Nisyonos, and by the way, they continue to the next Omid Talmud Beis. You'll see a couple more triangles there. These are Nisyonos, the Yashav Stira. This is what we've written in the margin under our Mivneh heading, attempts to resolve the contradiction Bein Shnei Mekoros Bin Yerichitza B'Yamagodol B'Shabbos, to resolve the contradiction between these two sources regarding bathing in the Great Sea on Shabbos. So we continue in the Gemara. Omar Reb Yochanan, lo kasha, there is no contradiction. Ha Rebbe Meir, ha Rebbe Yehuda. Source number two will appear as in accordance with Rebbe Meir, who we'll see in the next piece of Gemara. And source number one will be in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. The Rashi points out, you can see Rashi across from here, Hadikotani Rochatzim B'Yam HaGadol, source number two that says you can bathe in the Yam HaGadol on Shabbos, is in accordance with Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir, he, the Mashvi Kol Hayamim Ki Hadodi, who makes all of the seas, as is referred to in the Pasuk, in the Torah, as one in the, as all similar. Ki Hadodi, V'lo Maflik Ben Yam HaGadol L'Shar Yamim, he makes no distinction between the Yam HaGadol and other seas, other bodies of water. The next Rashi, Behad the Tony Ein Rochatzin, Rebbe Yehuda, he the Maflik Ben Yam HaGadol L'Shar Yamim. According to Rebbe Yehuda, a distinction is made between the Yam HaGadol and other seas. The Gemara. Disnan, we now present a Tanaic source. It's a Mishnah from Maseches Pora, in which Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda appear. The source says, Kol Hayamim Kemikveh, all of the seas, including the Yam HaGadol, are like a mikveh, have a din of a mikveh. Shinemar ulemikveh hamayim koro yamim, divrei Rebbe Meir. Now, being that it has the din of a mikveh, Rashi points out what legal ramification that has. If as such, if the water is flowing, it would not metayer, as is the din of a mikveh. It would have to be stagnant water. and a person like a Zav would not be able to immerse himself in there, because a Zav, it's a type of a Zav is a type of tumah that is characteristic of males, because as a result of a certain kind of emission, they need to immerse themselves in what's called a ma'imayim chayim, an alive spring. Likewise, a mitzora needs to immerse himself in a live spring. If you classify something as a mikveh, it doesn't have that characteristic. We continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yam HaGodol kemikveh. The Yam HaGodol is like a mikveh. Velo ne'emar yamim elo shiyesh bo mine yamim harbe. The term yamim, which is a plural expression, is not coming, as Rabbi Meir said, to link or compare all seas to one another, but the great sea is called Yam, is considered like a mikveh. And why the plural expression is because many bodies of water flow into the great sea. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Hayamim Mitarin Bezochalin, all seas, including the great sea, have the power to metama even when the water is flowing, like a ma'ayon, like a live spring. So that all the seas, including the great sea, are like a ma'ayon with regard to the tahara power. Upsulin lezovim ulemitzroyim ulekadesh bohen mechatos. However, even though he's calling the Yamagolo like a ma'ayon, that's only insofar as its ability to matire when the water is in movement. But it's not considered a ma'ayon, a live spring, with regard to the needs of a zav, nor for a mitzora, nor for the preparation of the pora aduma water. That's called the mechatas. That's where we mix the ashes of water that must be from a live spring with the ashes of the red cow, the red heifer. That's eventually used for purification of someone who was defiled through contact with the dead, which we call Tumas Mace. Maskif Rav Nachmon Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachmon challenges Rav Yochanan's resolution of the contradiction. But before we go on, it's important just to review what Rav Yochanan tried to accomplish. Rav Yochanan explained that source 2 that says Rochatzin b'mei Tveria v'yama gadol, comparing the yama gadol to the mei Tveria, he is in the spirit of Rabbi Meir that compares the yama gadol to other seas. Source number 1 that said, though you can bathe in other kinds of seas, but not in the Yam HaGadol. That would be in the spirit of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the Yam HaGadol is like a mikveh, separating, keeping the Yam HaGadol as a separate entity, and that the plural expression in the Pasuk was not meant to include all other seas. Rav Nachmon Bar Yitzchak here challenges Rav Yochanan. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Amor de Pligi le'inyan Tuma Vitara. The machlokis that we saw between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda might very well be in the realm of Tuma Tara, as we saw. When we say might, means it is. It's in the realm of Tuma Tara, and that's because of the psukim that we saw. Le'inyan Shabbos mi Shamis lehu. However, regarding Shabbos, where the issue is one of refuah, of the healing capacity, do we see a machlokes? We don't see a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda regarding Shabbos and refuah matters. Elo omar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. So we have to go back to resolve the two sources regarding bathing in them on Shabbos, and the context being refuah, lo kashya, there is no contradiction. Ha, dishtoi, ha, dolo, ishtoi. Source number 1, which is restrictive, as if a person, ishtoi means to tarry, to delay, to spend time in the water. And ha de lo ishtoi is where he doesn't delay or tarry in the water. Rashi explains it, if one tarries in the water, so it's clear that he's there for refuah purposes. If he doesn't tarry there, it looks like he's just going to wash himself off. The Gemara continues, b'mai ukimto lebas raisa. So how did we set up the second source that was with permission, with allowance, the lo ishtoi, where he didn't tarry in there? E de lo ishtoi, if he didn't tarry in there, afilu b'mei mashrenami. Now notice we have a little arrow to the right hand side of the Gemara. You can align this arrow with the arrow on Omid Aleph, in which, where you will see on that line on Omid Aleph, there was a prohibition with regard to Mei Mashra. But if we're setting up source, that source which allowed the Yam HaGodol, because he didn't tarry in there, why shouldn't Mei Mashra also be allowed? The Hotanya, the source says, Rochatzin b'mei tveria uv'mei mashra. Notice how we use the dot underlining to keep things focused. One can bathe in the mei tveria, in the mei mashra, v'yomashel stone, and even in the Dead Sea, v'af alpi sheyesh lo chatotim b'roshu, even if he has chatotim, like scabs or bruises on his head, which would indicate to us that he's there for medicinal purposes. B'med v'murim, under what circumstances do we allow this? Shelo nishtaya, where he doesn't delay, where he goes in and out. Avo nishtaya also, but if he delays, it will be forbidden. So as far as the Gemara is concerned, the resolution of Rav Nachman Yitzchok doesn't hold up because of the problem regarding the Mei Mashra. We're not sufficiently explaining source number two with his answer, because if source number two is going to be explained as Lo Ishtai, so why does source number two restrict the Mei Mashra, the flax water situation? Elo, the Gemara responds, Yam HaGodol, Ayam HaGodol Lo Kashya. As far as the two sources regarding the Yam HaGodol are concerned, Ho B'Yofin Sheboi, Ho B'Ro'im Shebo. If it's yofen, mean literally nice water, clean water, people will wash even during the weekdays in that. So that it doesn't appear to be for refuah purposes. So source that allows the Yam HaGodol, we saw that was source number two. So that would be if it's yofen, the nice clean water. The source number one that prohibits is Beroim Shebo, in dirty water. So why would one go into dirty water if it's not for medicinal purposes? And that's why it's forbidden, because we know that things that are obviously medicinal are prohibited on Shabbos. Mei Mashra, Mei Mashra, Nami Lo Kashya. As far as the Mei Mashra issue is concerned, we have there what seems to be a contradiction as well. We have the source on Omen Aleph that said that you cannot go into the Mei Mashra, you can't use the flax water, and you can't bathe in the flax water. And here we have a source that says you are able to bathe in the flax water. That also is not contradictory. Ha de ishtoi, ha de lo ishtoi. If he delays in it, tarries in it, that's forbidden. If he doesn't tarry in it, so then it's allowed. The Mishnah. Ein ochlin ezovion b'shabbos. There's another girsa that reads this as Ezov Yavon, where it basically split this into two words. But the Mishnah says, Ein ochlin ezovion b'shabbos l'fi she'eno maichol briyim. One is not allowed to eat this because it's not something that healthy people eat. And if someone is eating it, it's obviously because he's sick and it's of a medicinal nature. And hence we have the Shabbos restriction. Aval, the Mishnah goes on, Ochel hu es yo'ezer. One is entitled to eat yo'ezer. A lot of healthy people eat yo'ezer. V'sheisa abuvroya, and one can drink abuvroya. Kol ochlin ochel adam l'refua. All food items, a person is entitled on Shabbos to eat them, even though he's eating it for health purposes. Kol amashkin sheisa, all beverages a person is entitled to drink. Chutz mimei dekolim, except for May dekolim. Dekel is a palm tree, so it's water from a palm. The kois ikrin, and kois ikrin also. Rashi says kois ikrin mashke she koishin l'seichel ikre yirokos v'besamim. It's a beverage into which ground plant roots are added. Plant roots and spices are added. So one cannot drink kois ikrin with may shehein liruka. They are made the kolam, and kois ikrin is a remedy for a disease called yirakon, and it's not something that healthy people would ordinarily consume. Avol sheisu made the kolam litzamoi. A person, if he is thirsty, and he's not sick, but he's thirsty, he is entitled to drink mei dekolim. V'soch shemen ikrin shelo refor, and he can smear on himself the oil of the ikrin. Shemen ikrin, if he's not doing it for medicinal purposes. The Gemara. Before we do the Gemara, learn the Gemara itself, we have a series marking, the double underline, and under our no say mivne heading in the margin, we have noted that these are deos, different opinions, bimahu ezov d'oraisa. In the Torah, the word ezov appears in the tahara of a mitzora, for example. The term eitz erez, the ezov, appears, and ezov is a plant that the Torah makes reference to, and we'll see different opinions as to what that is. And once again, as we've seen many, many times, the Gemara, in giving its explanation, will give it in Aramaic, something that the at the time of the Gemara they knew what it was. In other words, the Aramaic explanation is a clarification for the generation of the time of the Gemara, where the Torah word itself had not been clear. The Gemara provides clarity for that generation. Of course, for us, the issue of translation comes into play, and we mentioned before that in Daf Yomi of Gemara marking, so we don't delve into that area. Omar Rav Yosef, Ezov of the Torah, is known as Avrisa Bar Hemig. Ezovion, which was a term we saw in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, that's Avrisa Bar Hinig. Ula Omar, Ula is a second approach to Ezov of the Torah. He says the Ezov of the Torah is known as Marva Chivra. Ula Ikla Lebe Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Ula visited Rav Shmuel. Aisu Lekame Marva Chivra. He was served Marva Chivra Omar, and Ula reacted, Hainu Ezov D'chsiv Bo Raisa. That's the Ezov of the Torah. Rav Popi Omar, he explains Ezov is Shumshuk. Omar of Yirmiyah Midifti, Kavose to Rav Popi Mistabra. Rav Popi's explanation of Ezov of the Torah is most likely Disnan, the Tanaic source that deals with the Ezov. It says, Mitzvahs Ezov Shloshe Klochen. The mitzvah of Ezov, the Torah speaks about taking an agudas Ezov. And this was in the context of the Pora Aduma. So you take an agudas Ezov, and aguda means three branches. So mitzvah Ezov, shloisha klochem, you would take three branches of the Ezov plant, ubohen, shloisha givolin. And branch of Ezov has on it three shoots. The shumshuk hu de mishtak chahochi. The shumshuk plant will look like that. That for every branch that you take of it, there are three stalks that branch out from it. Lamai achli le. Why do people consume this? Why would someone eat this? Lekukiani. If he suffers from stomach worms. Rashi says, Toiloim shebivnei me'ayim, intestinal worms. B'may achlilei, with what does he eat it? B'sheva tamri uchmiso, with seven black dates. Mimai havya, what does it come from? Someone who suffers from kukiani, what does it come from? Mikimcha desairi, decholef alei, arboin yomin, from someone who consumes barley flour that was ground 40 days earlier. It seems that it's if you leave the barley flour around and don't use it after it's freshly ground, you leave it for 40 days, it can promote the development of these intestinal worms. Avol oichel hu es yoezer. With our markings, we've highlighted the term yoezer and abuvroe with this crown shape. As you can see, one is here and later the abuvroa is featured. We continue in the Gemara, my yoezer. We pointed out that we've highlighted the yoezer and the abuvroa with the crown marking. Here the Gemara asks, what is the yoezer? The Gemara answers, it's known as putnak. Before we continue further in the Gemara, we've noted on the side of Gemara, of course, the mivneh, the crown shape, highlighting yoezer and abuvroa, and the nosei, the topic here is achilas yoezer, the eating, the consumption of yoezer, mo'il le'araksa. It's beneficial for arkasa. This is a case of toiloim shebekoveit, it's liver worms. And the Gemara will ask, Mahim Hagormim Laraksa, what are the causes of Araksa? And we will deal with Refuos Chilufios Lemisha'in Lo Yoezer. The Gemara will present alternative remedies for someone who doesn't have Yoezer. There will be quite a few of them. They will be highlighted, as you can see under our Mivneh heading, with a trapezoid or volcano shape. And we've written there, Sidra Shel Oisom Refuos Chilufios Shuskru Leo, the series of those alternative medicines for someone who doesn't have Yoezer. Now we turn to the Gemara. After saying that Yoezer is putnak, Lamai Achlile, why does one eat this? Araksa, because of suffering from worms in the liver. Bemai achlile, what does one eat this with? Answer, besheva tamri chivrasa. This is in contrast with the Azov situation where he was eating it with seven black dates. Here he eats it with seven white dates. Chivrasa are white. Mimai havya, what is the cause of araksa? Answer, and you'll see there's a list of, we've numbered them off, a list of causes of araksa. Number one, me umsa umayo alibo reikona. Someone who ate on an alibo reikona is an empty stomach. He ate meat that was prepared on coals. Umsa is meat prepared on coals, and drinking water. So if one eats this roasted meat and water on an empty stomach, he might very well suffer from this araksa ailment. Another thing, another cause, umi bisra shmeino alibore kona, fatty meat on an empty stomach, umi bisra detura alibore kona, or ox meat on an empty stomach, me amguza alibore kona, amguza are nuts on an empty stomach, umi giri derubia alibore kona, eating this plant, this vegetation called giri derubia. Rashi explains, giri derubia luve tilson, Kain Luve Gefanim. Luve Gefanim, we translate often as vine tendrils, like grape tendrils. This is a tilson plant, has its own tendrils, so that's what Giri Derubia would be. On Alibo de Reikon, an empty stomach, U Mishti Mayo Abasre, and drinking wine, water, that is, afterwards. The Gemara continues, and notice we have the trapezoid shape here. The E low, and we indicated before, that's a reference to someone who doesn't have putnak. So livla tachli chivrso, he should swallow white tachli. The E low, and if not, lesiv betanisa, he should observe a fast, should observe a period of non-eating. The lesi bisra shmeina, and then bring some fatty meat. The lishti agomri, and place it on coals. The limits garma, and then he should then suck the meat out, like suck out its fat, the ligmo chala, and then swallow some vinegar. We have a little aleph here because there's a different lashon. We have this in brackets. The brackets that you see here only to keep the reading smoother. Right afterwards, ve'ilo means if someone doesn't have that, or can't do that, so there's another an alternative suggestion. But in the meantime, in the brackets, the ikar di amri, another version is cholo lo, he shouldn't consume the vinegar mishum de koshi lekavda, because it's injurious to the liver. Vi lo, another alternative, lysi gurda de asinta de grida miiloi letatoi velo mitatoi liloi, he should bring gurda. Da sinto. Rashi says, "Guda sinto klipa gruda min hasne." The sne is a type of plant, and the Torah, the sne appears as the bush, the famous burning bush that Moshe Rabbeinu encountered in the Sefer Shmos. The Gemara is describing klipa is the bark that's scraped off of the sne, provided you did the scraping from top down. That's what the Gemara says here, mi'iloi letatoi, from top down and not from bottom up. Dilma nafka aidi pume. Because if you don't do it the right way, so then the worms will come forth from your mouth. Continuing, velishlika b'shichra, and then you take this scraped bark, boil it in, shichra is beer, bay shivavi. Rashi has two pshatim. One pshat is at dusk when it's starting to get dark. Another pshat is in a neighbor's house, so you should boil it up over there. Ulamochar, and on the next day, naskirinun lenikvin didei velishti. Rashi says naskirinun lenikvin didei yistom nechirav. He should close his nostrils so that he shouldn't smell it. And we continue in the Gemara. And after closing his nostrils, he then drinks it. V'chi mefani, and when he relieves himself, mefani apshicha tedikla. Rashi says mefani apshicha mokom shenifshach hadekel. He should relieve himself where a palm tree has been split. The Gemara continues with the next item mentioned in the mission of v'shoisin abuvroa. My abuvroa, what is that? In the Gemara here, we'll follow a similar style as before, but a much shorter piece of Gemara. On the side, we've indicated under our Nosei heading, Shtias Abuvroa Moil Lemi Shishosa Giloi. The drinking of Abuvroa was beneficial for someone who drank beverages, water that was left open. Water that was left open, there is the fear that a snake drank from it and deposited venom in it. So this would be an antidote to that situation. The Gemara, my abuvroa, what is that? Chumtarya. It was known as chumtarya. My chumtarya. Apparently that wasn't so well known either. So the Gemara asks, well, what's that? Answer, chutra yichida. Rashi on this says, chutra, the last narrow line, eitz hagodel yichidi below anaf. It's a type of tree that grows as a trunk without branches. The Gemara, Lamai Avdi La, what is Abuvroa used for? Le Giluya, for drinking, for one who drank water that was left exposed. V'i Lo, and if he doesn't have Abuvroa, Lesi Chamisha Klili, V'chamisha Kusto de Shichra, a person should then fetch five Klili. Rashi says Vrodin, sometimes translated as roses, and five Kusto de Shichra, five cups of beer, vinish lukinu bahadi hadodi, and then boil them together, ad dekaimo anpiko, until after the boiling there remains a quarter of a lug, which is a liquid quantity, vinishti, and then drink it. Ime de rav achtevuye barami avdo le lahu gavro, the mother of rav achtevuye made for a man, she prepared for him chad klilo v'chad kusto de shichra, a much reduced quantity potion, which one klila, which was, we said, the vered, and one cup of beer, shalka v'ishkisei, she boiled it and gave him to drink from it, v'shagra tanura, and she then heated up an oven, v'garfisei, cleaned out the oven from its coals so that it should cool off a bit, v'osvisei leventa begavoi, and she placed a brick in the oven. This is a large oven, and the brick is there for one to be able to sit on it. So, and so this fellow was suffering from the ailment. because of Giloy, so he went in to the oven, sat on the brick, v'nofak kehutza yarkav, and there emerged from this person what appeared to be like a lulav leaf, a green lulav leaf. That's what emerged from him, which was a sign that he was healed from the what he was spitting up. In effect, was snake venom that appeared like a green lulav or palm leaf. The Gemara continues: Rav Avya Omar Rav Yosa de Chalva Meiza Chivrasa. A revius is a liquid measure of, it's a revius of milk from a white goat. Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Omar Laisi Esroga Chalisa. In the context of this Gemara, it would appear that these are alternative, we'll call it medicines for someone who drank the Giloy. So Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Omar Laisi Esroga Chalisa. A person should bring a, Laisi is to bring an Esroga, an Esrog, that's Chalisa sweet, the Lechaike, to hollow it out, the Limle Duvsha, and fill it with honey, the Loisva Bei Miluli Denura. Rashi explains on this, Manicho Agabi Gecholim Lo Chashos Yishbashil Esrog B'dvash. You should place it on hissing coals, that the Esrog with its honey should get, it should become cooked, the Lichle, and eat it. Rav Chanina Omar Mei Raglayim B'nei Arboin Yom. Mei Raglayim is urine, that is B'nei Arboin Yom. Two pshatim that one finds in Rashi. One is that it sat for 40 days, and the other is it comes from an infant who's 40 days old. Barzina Lezibura. A barzina is a shiur. It's an amount. It's a small cup quantity. But for our purposes, it's a liquid measure. A barzina Lezibura. This would help someone who was stung by a zibura, by a bee. A reviosa la'akrava, a revius of a lug, a quarter of a lug, for someone who was stung by a scorpion. Palga riva is a half a lug. This is ligiluya, for someone who drank exposed water, as we saw before, with the suspicion of snake venom being in it. And riva is a full lug. It's called a riva, afilu likshafimalo. It's beneficial even for someone who is under the spell of black magic. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan lists three substances: anigron, the av nagar, the tiraiko. These substances, ma'alu, bein legiluya, bein likshafim, are beneficial for someone who is victimized from a gilui or the black magic. The Rashi points out that this is a reference to water in which these are names of grasses that were boiled in them. Grasses and plants. There are different names of items that we said that we don't have the capacity of translating what they are, but one would boil these different plants in water and shrink it, and it would be beneficial for gilui or kshafim. We continue in the Gemara with some new markings. On the side of the Gemara, you see a diamond is featured, and we have under our Nosei Mivne heading, Sidra Shel Pitronot, a series of solutions, Labayos Im Chivya, with problems that arise out of contact with a snake. We're saying it in very general terms because there are many different, we'll call them snake-related problems. The Gemara, Hai Man, de Bola Chivya. And what we've tried to do as the Gemara continues, you'll see we've dashed, underlined what the problem is, so that if you skim ahead, you can see here is Bola Chivya, second line from the bottom, the Tarke Chivya. Bola is one who swallowed a snake. Tarkei is bitten by a snake, and on Kuf Yud Omen Aleph there will be a number more of these diamonds appearing with additional problems. Karchi Chivya, the Mikni Bei Chivya, the Roira Basrei, etc., and some more problems as well. In the meantime, we are dealing with someone who swallowed a Chivya. Luchle Kashusa B'milcha, he should eat Kashus with salt. The Lirate Tlosa Mili, and run 3 meal. To run for 3 meal. Meal is 2,000 amas, which is understood to be something in the vicinity of a kilometer in distance. As we continue in the Gemara, you'll notice in Aleph and in the Ika di Amri, a second alternative Lashon Beis, and we've highlighted this with our lettering to indicate the two versions. On the side, under our Mivneh heading, we've noted the Aleph and Beis are Shnei Lishonos Barav Simi Bar Ashi U Blias Chivya, two cases or two versions of Rav Simi Bar Ashi and the swallowing of a snake. So the Gemara says, Rav Simi Bar Ashi Chazilu Gavra. In this first version, Rav Simi Bar Ashi notices a man, the Bola Chivya, that had swallowed a snake. Idmi Le Keparsha. So he appeared to him as a Parsha, as a horseman type of soldier figure that rides on a horse, an officer. Uchle kashusa b'milcha, he ate a kashus with the kashus plant with salt. The arate kamei tlosa mili, and he caused him to run in front of him for 3 meal. The nafak mine guvi guvi, and the snake came out of him in pieces. It emerged from him in pieces. Guvi guvi are chatichos chatichos, as Rashi says. Ika diamri, another version of this is Rav Simi Bar Ashi Bola Chivya. Rav Simi himself swallowed a snake. Os Elio, the prophet Elio came. Idmi Le Keparsha, appeared to him as a Parsha. Uchle Keshusa B'milcha, he gave him the Kashus B'milcha to eat. Ve'arate Kamei Tlosa Mili, and had him run in front of him 3 meal. Ve'nofik Mine Guvi Guvi, and it emerged from him in pieces. Haiman de Tarkei Chivya, one who was bitten by a snake. Laisi ubra de chamra de chivrasa, he should bring the ubar as the fetus of a chamra, a donkey, chivrasa, white donkey, velikrie, and tear it, velosve iluya, and place it upon him. Vehani mili de lo ish takach trefa, and this is acceptable, provided that the mother was not found to be a trefa. The Gemara continues, hahu, at the top of Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, who Bar Kasha de Pubadisa, the Tarkei Chivya. Bar Kasha is an appointed official, a Memuna Lamelech, Rashi says, who happened to be Jewish. He was a Jewish governmental official in Pubadisa, the name of a city. The Tarkei Chivya was bitten by a snake. Havet Lesar, Hamri Chivrusa de Pubadisa. There were 13 white donkeys in Pubadisa. Karinu Lukulu, they were all torn open. Vishtakhu Trefa, they were found to be Trefa, and hence we saw would be ineffective as a remedy. Havoy Chalabo Hu Gisa de Pubadisa. So there was one white donkey on a particular edge of Pubadisa. Bahu Gisa is literally that side. Sounds like the edge of the city. Ada Azli, until they got there, Maisi until they got there to bring it, Ochla Aryeh, was eaten by a lion. So this poor fellow, this Bar Kasha Pumbadisa, was without remedy. We saw they made so much effort and were unable to achieve the necessary remedy. Omaluhu Abaye said to them, Dilmo Chivya de Rabbonan Tarkei, maybe he was bitten by the rabbinic snake. We'll see what that is in a moment. The Les Le Asuta. Someone bit by the rabbinic snake has no remedy. Dichtiv. Uporeitz geder yishochenu nochash, the one who breaks open the fence. Now the fence is a reference to rabbinic rulings, as you are probably quite familiar. There are many rabbinic rulings that serve as a fence, a defense mechanism to prevent people from coming to violate Torah precepts. So we have a lot of rabbinic rulings that impose additional restrictions so that someone doesn't come to stumble, to violate an actual Torah prohibition. And it says in the Pasuk, one who violates the rabbinic prohibition, Yishalchenu Nasha, will be bit by a snake. And that's the snake, what we called before the rabbinic snake, someone who is bit by that kind of snake, or we can say a snake brought on a person because he violates Dinim Derabbanan, has no remedy. Omru Leh, so they said to Abaye, in Rebbe. They said, yes, Rabbi, the Chinoch Nafshe Derav. Here is the background, that he was a violator of rabbinic teaching. That when Rav passed away, Gozar Rav Yitzchok Bar Bisno, Deleko Delimte Asa Vegidmi Lebehi Lula Betavla. That as a result of the mourning over Rav's demise, they should minimize the amount of festivity around weddings. And they, Rav Yitzchok made a ruling that they should not bring Deleko Delimte Asa. Asa is a hadas, a myrtle branch. Vegidmi. Also a type of branch. Lebehi lula, to a wedding, betavla, with a tavla is a musical instrument. Rashi explains on the fourth line from the top, he says, shiyu memate misimcha oisushona, that year they should reduce the amount of joy. V'lo yehei odo mevi aso v'givmi lehi lula. They shouldn't bring the aso and give me to a wedding, but tavlo, with the tavlo instrument. Shohi regilim lohavi hadas v'anfei dekolim. The give me is the palm branches. L'smoach l'fnei achosin v'akala, to dance with them, to create joy in front of the bride and the groom and the bride. Unkshimvian oisam l'fneim, and when they would bring these plants to them, mekashin l'fneim b'shuk b'voam, they would play these instruments in the public, coming with the tupim, the zugin, or tavla. These are different types of percussion instruments. The gozer shaloi kashuf ne'emod, and he, Rav Yitzchok, made a ruling that they shouldn't play these anymore. So the story goes on. The ozal ihu amti asa v'gidmi behi lula b'tavla, and this bar kasha actually did that. He violated Rav Yitzchok's ruling. Tarke chivyo misen. He was therefore bitten by the snake, and he died from it. And as we saw, he died before they could find a remedy, because they weren't going to find a remedy, being that he was bitten by the chivyo de Rabbanan. As you can see, the Gemara will continue with more snake-related matters, as the diamonds indicate. But with that, we conclude our shiur for today.